In the name of Jesus, amen. Give our praise dance a big hand of praise this afternoon. We'll thank God. We'll thank God for our little ones. Amen. At this time, without any further delay, we want to call on one of our own. You know, he was in a youth group, graduated from high school, now in college. I think this should be his second year or so. And every time he comes up here to speak, he blesses our heart. And without any further delay, I want to call on our dear brother, Isaac Oluwatola, who's going to bring us the word for today. Amen? Amen. Come on, Isaac.
Good morning, church. My name is Isaac, as Pastor Anson said, and today I'm going to be giving the word for Graduate Sunday. Before I start, though, I'd like to take us in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to be here in another June. We want to thank you for another week, another year, another month that we are here in your presence, we are gathered. We want to thank you throughout the ups and downs that you have remained by our side. We ask that once again next year we will be here in your presence celebrating the goodness and your works that you have done for us. We ask concerning today's Sunday service that you will open our hearts, open our minds, and you will help us. You will speak through me and you will help me enlighten your people. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. So as Pastor Gary said, I'm going to be talking about surrendering control to God's navigation. And what do we do when we go through transitions? Because people might think that it's easy, but it's really not. So even me standing here, I've been here a couple times, but obviously I think it's gonna get easier, but you know, that's how it is. That's how it is, yeah. The first verse I'll be going to talk about today is Proverbs 16, verse 9. Sorry about that. Proverbs 16, verse 9, which says, "A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs your steps." Now, to me, this verse just spoke to me because it really meant, like, no matter how much you could, like, plan, no matter how much you could plan ahead, you could have your calendar, you could date every hour, oh, I'm going to do this, it's going to be in vain, it's going to be wasted if you don't have God behind you, backing you every step of the way. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." Before I go into my service, my sermon, my message towards the graduates, I would first like to address the parents. Psalm 127, verse 4 to 5 says, "Like arrows are in the hands of the warriors, so are the children of one youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed." Now, to me, this verse is not just directed to the parents, but also to the youth, because in today's day and age, there is a growing number of people who don't want to get married, don't want to have kids, but I'm not saying it. The Bible is saying that happy is the man who has his quiver full of children. God wants us, God brought us into this earth to reproduce, to repopulate, and to give back people to his kingdom. So why should we think otherwise? Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We are in a time of transitions. We are in a time of graduation. We are in a time of moving on to the next level. As long as you parents know that what you have done for your child up until this moment is enough, you should have peace in your heart that God will help them in this next level. Amen. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Yes. Amen. And before I get into that other verse, I'm also just going to read Colossians 3, verse 21, which once again reiterates, "Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Now, if you search up the definition of the word admonition, you get a firm but gentle, I don't know if we heard that word one more time, a gentle warning or cautionary advice regarding behavior, although often combined with a hint of scolding. Now, obviously, I'm not going to say how we should discipline our children. That's not what I'm here to say. But it's just, the matter of how we do it. Although this verse says fathers, I can understand and believe that it refers to parents in general, just like when we say man and referring to humans. This was in a different translation, so I was using NIV, it said exasperate, which once again means to frustrate and antagonize. Now, parents, you might not realize that you were doing it, but we children, the recipients of it, we sure do. Parents need to learn how to communicate effectively and in healthy ways with their children to keep them motivated and their relationship flourishing. Now, what does this mean? Sorry. I come from an African household. I love my parents. I'm grateful to my mom, to my dad, for the way they taught me. But sometimes it's a one-sided conversation. I'm gonna speak and you're gonna listen. It's not a two-way street. I'm trying to go the wrong way in a one-way street. So I just believe as parents, you need to open our hearts. It's God's plan, you know. We just need to pray that God will open each and every one of our hearts so that as kids, we can also communicate with our parents in a way that they don't see it as disrespective or disrespectful. And as parents, just instilling the values that they want us to continue to grow in. The parental milestone shift. Parents, as you're aware, it's time for some of your kids to be leaving the nest. But it's gonna be hard for your children to go and gain independence from you, whether it's elementary, middle schoolers, wanting to like ride their bikes by themselves, they don't want you giving them a ride, or as middle school, high school, college students becoming more independent. Unfortunately, you will not always be there for your kids, so you need to trust that you have raised them well enough. Once you let them go, there are still two things that you can do for them. You can pray that you have nurtured them enough and you can dedicate their lives to God. The next topic I'll be talking about is cultivating strong roots. We're going to be reading from Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, verse 6 to 7 says, and these words I command to you today in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. God wants, just like how your parents have instilled their values onto you, God wants you to do the same to your children. But how do I say this in a respectful manner? To the parents, if you are not fully comfortable or confident in letting your kids go on to take that next step in their journey, or you don't want them to leave you, does that mean that you believe that you didn't do good enough until this point? Parents need to trust in the Lord, but also in themselves and the children whom they have raised to be good, whom roots are firm and are planted by the water, that is the Bible, that is the Word, that is bringing them to church each every Sunday, that is making sure they pray, they read their Bible. Parents, you need to, overthinking, people might think that overthinking is just for Gen Z, but it's not. Parents also deal with a lot of overthinking. So you need to cast your worries onto God because he is here for you, and he's here for us, he's here for each and every one of us. Embracing the uncertainty. Parents, to my mother, to my father, to each and every person here, it is okay if your child is not sure what exactly they want to do yet. None of us know what God has planned for us. We can't see God's mind. We don't know what he has written in our lives, what's going to happen in 2 hours from now. We don't know that. So parents, if your child is coming to you for the third time, asking to join a new sport, or he wants to do a new club, or he's told you 15 different career options in just 1 week, we need to have patience and hope and pray for them that they can figure out what exactly it is that they want to do. You need to stay with them. You need to walk with them, not instruct them. You need to have a conversation so you can mold and grow them into who they're meant to be, not who you think you want them to be, but who they will be in the name of Jesus' name. But they can't do it without your support. But as your kids came into this world because of you, they also can't advance without your support. They need to know that, you know, you are with them, that you love them, that you respect their decision, that you won't like put them down if they want to study liberal arts as opposed to being a lawyer or a doctor, electrician. They're figuring themselves out in this world, and they need you. Without them, they can't do it. 1 Samuel 1, verse 27 to 28 says, "For this child I have prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord." Can I just ask, does anybody know who was given this prayer in 1 Samuel 27, 1, 27? Hannah. And who was Hannah? Who was Hannah? Who was her kid? There we go. Hebrews 3 verse 4 also says, "For everyone, every house is built by someone, but who built all things is God." We've all read our Bibles at some point. We all know the story of creation. We all know that we are here because God breathed life into sand, and now we are alive. If Hannah can surrender her child to God because she prayed for that child, how many of the parents here prayed for the children that you have today? Thank you. If Hannah can pray and God can deliver and she can go and she can continue the promise that she had, so can each and every one of us here. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. We need to remember, or once again, as parents, you need to remember that God is the author of all stories. You cannot force your child to do something that you think is right for them without God having that say as well. Remember that even before each and every one of us children were here today, God had already known about us. God had loved us. Respectfully, before you guys even knew we were going to exist, God had set that plan for us. So we need to remember as parents, as children, that sometimes, you know, we're just human. What is a mortal in comparison to God, the guy who, the being, the entity who gave us life, who gave us meaning, who can take away our, in an instant? We need to surrender ourselves to the Lord. Now, to the graduates, I want to say congratulations, because everybody knows it's not an easy journey, because there's a lot of things that you have to do, a lot of work that you put in behind the scenes. Your parents might not see it, your friends might not see it, but you know it's taking a toll on you, whether that's physical, mental, spiritual. But I want to say thank you, congratulations to you for pushing through, for persevering. We're proud of you. Jeremiah 21 verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." As we were here a couple minutes ago applauding and congratulating our graduates, you need to know that even if you might not know exactly the next step that you plan on taking, God is with you. You need to dedicate your lives to God. You need to take a step back and remember that you are not in control. You are not the driver in the seat. You are the passenger. You're sitting in the back. You are not the one with the hand on the wheel. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." Now, this verse is very powerful, yes, but it's very hard for us because, you know, we want to be independent. You know, we believe that, you know, we are strong, that God, you know, yeah, God made me independent. God made me amazing. God made me powerful. And sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of pride that remembering that, yes, God made me who I am, but I also need to, you know, once in a while go back to him and I need to submit, because, you know, we want to be up here. We're used to being babied, and now you're going to be going on to the next step of your life. You're going to think, oh, I'm in control now, but you need to remember you are not in control of your life. God is in control. Blueprint versus footsteps. Psalm 119, I think we all know Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path always." Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't really seen any stories in the Bible where God is giving a 10-year-old or a 7-year-old, here, take this map. It's going to be exactly what I want from you in this second, in this moment. You're going to follow it step by step if you want to be successful. God doesn't do that. He doesn't give us the answers. But what he does is he illuminates the way for an immediate step. As children, we need to realize that, you know, planning ahead, although, like, planning ahead is smart, yes, but, like, going too far without God is futile. There's no point of it. You need to take things step by step, one day at a time, one week at a time. As long as you're with God, then you can go. Because we need to remember that 1,000 days in God's eyes is, 1,000 days here is, 1,000 years here is just one day in God's eyes. So why are we planning for 50 years? That's barely time for God to shut his eyes, open it back up. It's, as I've been saying, I keep saying it because even me, I'm a result of it. I know not everybody here knows exactly what they want to be. And even if you might think that you know what you want to be right now, you might get into where you're going. You might get into college. You might see something today. Oh, wait, you know, I'm not even sure that I really like. Or you might take a class. Wait until you take the classes for the major that you think you're going to take. And you're like, so I really need to do all this just to become. Then you need to start reevaluating. Making sure you listen to the Lord is vital, yes, because you're going to see your academic advisors, you're going to see your counselors, you're going to see your friends, but all this, that's just outside noise. If you're not listening to the Lord, what are you doing? If you're doing something that doesn't fit into God's plan for your life, you are ultimately just wasting your time, you're wasting your effort, you're disappointing yourself because you're going to think that I really just wasted all this time, and what did I get from it? Like, I've wasted the time, I've wasted the money, the resources. So before you take the next step, we need to remember, we need to dedicate that step in God. Relieving the pressure of the map. Remember, the world demands perfection, but heaven requires submission. God says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God doesn't want you to wait until you think I'm successful now, or I'm making 7 figures, or I can't go to God until I know that he will be proud of me. God is proud of you at every single step of your life, and you need to remember that. You also need to remember that you don't know what the future holds, because God holds your future. So you need to make sure that you are taking that next step in trust. Now, I will be honest, my message is definitely directed towards, like, the high school graduates going into college, but this is for everybody. If you're transitioning from 5th to 6th grade, 8th to 9th, college, after college, you need to step forward with God in trust, not with the perfect plan. Now, you can think that, oh, yes, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. Me, myself, I've definitely been derailed a couple times, but just making sure that you it's okay to take a step back once in a while. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing this, backing up, looking, evaluating, praying to God before coming back, because we tend to rush things as athletes, as students, as children. We want to, like, when it comes to doing our chores, we want to just get it out the way and do something else. But one of the hardest things we're going to need to learn in life is patience. Guarding your compass. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief and official permission. Before I go further, I just want to talk about that verse for one more second. But Daniel, first of all, what did he do? He resolved himself not to defile himself, and then he asked for permission. Asking for permission as emerging adults is going to be hard. You're going to think, oh, I'm an adult now, I can really do whatever I want to do. But just because, you know, you think you've, like, oh, I've dedicated, I've asked God for this, oh, I know God is with me, that doesn't mean you can just do it. That's like saying, oh, yes, I asked God for some money, so I'm going to go take it from somebody. Like, that's not really how it works. We need to remember that you can't really do anything without permission, whether it's permission from your parents, whether it's permission from yourself, from God. Just making sure you ask, am I allowed to do this? Is this logical? Is this ethical? Is this right? Knowing that before you proceed. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Children, I know you sometimes might feel like you're looked down upon because, oh, you're just a kid. You're just, let the adults are speaking, go to your room. You're not allowed to listen to this. But you need to understand that now is your time. You need to understand that now, yes, you have been sidelined, but now is your time. You are going to rise up. You need to rise up to the occasion. To the incoming college students, you need to make sure that your moral compass is strong and you have your priorities right. I'm telling you, college is going to be a change of scenery as down in South Jersey compared to when you're on campus. You're gonna experience it. You might think that, oh, I don't really see how it's different, but it's inner as well, just like understanding where you are and what you're supposed to do. You need to remember that your first priority going into this next step in your chapter in life is your education. Nothing should take priority over that. You are here to become successful. You're here to become a better version of yourself in God's name. I'm not saying don't have fun, don't go out. I'm not gonna stand here and say that I didn't have fun, I didn't go out. But it's very easy to lose yourself to the freedom that college offers if your foundation isn't strong. So this is going back to the parents section and making sure that they have made you, they have built you, they have put instilled values that you will have for the rest of your life. Do not succumb to the temptation or you will end up regretting it later on. Now, I don't know about any high school here that would allow you to like choose what time you want your classes to be, but in college, I'm pretty sure you're aware that, you know, you get to pick your own schedule, you get to do this, do that. Don't think it's that easy because you can wake up, you know, you set your alarms. Yes, me, I'll set my alarms and I'll wake up. I say, oh, I still have 2 hours, my class is right there, go back. It's just making sure that you know that you're here for school, you're here for college, you're here to pursue a higher education, making sure your priorities is right. Like, let's say you have a final coming up, but you also have a club meeting at like 11 p.m. Now, which one would you like? Which one do you choose? Making sure you don't make the wrong choice. I'm not saying, obviously, there are times that, you know, you need to go out, de-stress, take it all, but when is the time right for you to do that? That's what you need to ask yourself. You're not, obviously, no one is stopping you from going out every single night, but think about the repercussions of your actions because your parents are not gonna be there to hold your hand now and be like, oh, did you do this? Did you do that? But also when it comes to guarding your compass, I know you're gonna feel like, oh, yes, I'm finally free. I'm finally free of the curfews, of the chores, of having to do this, having to do that. Once in a while, you just need to remember to reach out back to your parents because obviously they're gonna miss you. And you're gonna think you don't miss them, but you're gonna miss them too. You're gonna miss them, you're gonna miss the food, you're gonna miss the bed, you're gonna miss your room eventually. You're gonna see, guys. Do not let your new environment change who you are in Christ. Remember the lesson that your parents have instilled in you. Do not let an environment change your moral compass. Before you get to campus, remember who you are. Make sure you pray. Make sure you dedicate your life. Make sure you talk to God to know where you are, what you're supposed to do, what he wants from you. In college, it's very easy to make friends, but it's not that easy to make the right friends, I'm telling you. Everybody is open to, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Oh, let's talk. Let's do this. But are we sure, like, your goals align? Are we sure your morals are aligned? Now you're looking at somebody do this, and are you going to think to yourself, if my parents were here, if God came in this moment, how would this look? It's all about optics. Obviously, once again, I'm said, no one can tell you you can't go out, but make sure you know that you're responsible for your actions. If something was to happen in that moment, would you have to face repercussions? It's something you need to remember. Once again, do not let your new environment change who you are in God and who your parents have made you, have molded you, have sculpted you to become. Growth. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings like eagles." Also, Romans 5, verse 3 and 4 says, "But we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. Now, I've definitely spoken on this multiple times, but there will be setbacks. I remember standing here, I think it was during the winter, and I was talking about how, I was failing math. Yes, I can say that. And it's really a culture shock because in high school, I'm telling you right now, like, the workload is really easy. Like, you don't even have to study. Well, maybe you might have, no, you should study. You should study. Study, guys. But when it comes to college, you're going to need to. Like, I wasn't studying in high school, and I did good. And then I came to college, I was like, let me actually start studying. So my first midterm, I don't know if some people might remember this, but I took the test. Obviously, I don't remember if I studied, but I know I was enjoying myself because, it was the start of the semester, I was going out. And I got my test back, and I was like, wow. And I'm looking around, I'm trying to see, does anybody have the score that I have? And I'm looking, oh, what did you get? Oh, I understand that I think half of my class failed, but I think there was only one person who got the score that I got. I'm looking, I get my paper. Oh, what did you get? Oh, I failed too. Ha ha ha. I look, 55. I look somebody else. Ooh, 35. Ooh, yes. I had a 30. I didn't see anybody else with a 30. I didn't see anybody with a 25. I'm like, dang, maybe this is really me. Like, I need to really reevaluate. That's that thing about reevaluating, just taking a step back, understanding that what are you doing wrong? What can you do to change the outcome of this so it doesn't happen again? I took my next test. I didn't fail this time, but I wasn't passing still. I got a 60. And it's like, dang. So now I'm really struggling because I know I'm putting in the effort and I'm trying and I'm doing the homework. I'm understanding the homework. I think I'm understanding the test. I'm like, yes, I'm doing this. And I get my test back. So what is wrong? That's what you need to ask yourself. What is wrong? But you can't just ask yourself that. You need to dedicate. You need to pray about it. But it's obviously, it's math. God is not going to give you the answers. So you also need to take that next step and go see a professor. There's nothing wrong with failing in college. I'll tell you that right now. Nothing wrong with failing. Well, as long as you don't flunk out of school. Obviously. Yeah. But I'm getting off track here. I just want to say, because, I made sure I was aligned with God. I went, I saw the extra help. I chose, I can't go out with you tonight. I have to study. Math's coming up, blah, 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 blah. By God's grace, I managed to pass the class. So just make sure you don't let the potholes, you don't let the hurdles stop you from going. It's okay to break a, it's okay to hurt yourself going to, it's not okay to hurt yourself. Let me rephrase that. It's okay to stumble and fall like in a pothole or there's a hurdle in your way, but as long as you keep trying, you keep persevering. Perseverance builds character. You're not gonna, if you do something once and you give up, what does that say about you? Now, obviously, perseverance builds character, but you also need to run your assigned track. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And at the same time, Galatians 6, verse 4 says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he himself rejoicing in himself alone and not in one another." Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that, I didn't understand the verse. So I had to, look at it. I had to study it. And what it brought forward was you need to make sure you are focused on your own work. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. In college, you're going to see a lot of different people. You're going to see people, different backgrounds, different financial standings, different this, different that. Oh, really? You have a private jet that you could fly to whenever you want? Oh, that's. But making sure, it's also the same thing with the grades. I mean, obviously, you kind of have to compare yourself to understand that you're doing something wrong. But making sure that you don't let someone else's success cloud your own accomplishments. You need to understand that, you matter too. What you're doing is good. You're doing good. You're working on yourself. You're progressing. Because everybody knows comparison is the thief of joy. In this next chapter in your life, you will meet so many different people. Please do not lose track of yourself and start comparing yourself to them. There are people who will be physically better than you, financially better than you, even mentally better than you. but as long as you keep working on yourself, because if you stay stagnant, then it's just going to be more people climbing. But as long as you grow, you keep running, you can't stop before the finish line, then you'll know that, you know, you are getting better. Obviously, like I said, there are people who are doing better than you physically, financially, but you don't know what goes on in their hearts. Only God does. You don't know what happened in order for them to get to where they are, whether that's good, whether that's bad, you know, because look at each and every one of us. People are going through stuff, or maybe they're a part of something that you don't want yourself to be a part of. So just making sure you don't take that comparison too far. Oh man, if I was this guy, I would be able to do this. Be happy, be grateful, be proud that God made you who you are, because that, knowing you, your sense of identity, your sense of identity is really gonna help you. It's really gonna make sure, it's gonna center you. Knowing your sense of identity in Christ, making sure you know that who you are is because of Christ, because of your parents, because of your, there, you shouldn't want to change anything about who you are. Be happy you are who you are. College is all about priorities. Make sure you have your priorities set. Yes, your priorities can change, but make sure you are reevaluating them. You need to understand that, is this still what I want to pursue? Is this still what I want to do? Is this... Make sure you find a good church on campus, but remember that your priority is education. I'll be honest, when I got to campus, I found a church, but then this church was asking, yo, can you come out? I think it was 1 a.m. Can you help us make flyers, make bags for church? But it's Thursday night, you know, it's a school night. I have class in the morning. I had to take a final. Making sure you understand that you don't have to say yes to everything. It's going to be very, obviously everything is going to look appeasing. It's going to look good, but sometimes you don't have to say yes. It's okay to say no. You need to understand that. There's nothing wrong with saying no. Now you need to also look, if something is taking more time than your schoolwork, is this something you should be doing? If it's a club that's demanding you do this, do that, come at this time, are you in school for that club? No, you're not. There's nothing wrong with doing something and then leaving because it's not a right fit for you. It's not quitting, it's reevaluating, it's regrowing, it's planting yourself, making sure that that thing doesn't take away all your time, all your energy, and wither you to your roots. If you had to choose, If you had to choose between going to a mock wedding or studying for your math final, pick wisely. You're gonna see all the posts. But remember that there will be more finals, but there will also be more mock weddings. There will also be more club meetings. There will also be more game nights. What matters, like I said, is the moment. God isn't asking you to know a detailed 10-year plan of your life. It's just the next step, taking that next step forward. What matters more sooner? Now, obviously, sadly for me, it was my final, so I had to. Now, in conclusion, as you embark in this next chapter of your life, you need to make sure you remember where you came from. Do not lose track of your home. Yes, you can make friends, learn more about yourself, but make sure you check in with your parents once in a while. They're missing you. You know you're missing them, too. You don't need to act tough. It's okay. Remember that you are where you are because of your parents, because your parents gave you the opportunity, the soil, the space to grow and become who you are. They gave you the opportunity to express yourself. So make sure that you know that they know how grateful you are to them. Find clubs or groups that have similar interests as you. In college, there's going to be something for everything. Like, I know some people here are going to Rutgers. There's literally a club for everything. There's literally a cheese club. What do you do in a cheese club? There's anything you could think of, there's going to be a club for it. And if, surprisingly, there's not, it's so easy to make your own club, start it. So making sure you surround yourself with people who align with you, who will help you grow, who will not pull you down, who will not wait. That's what really matters now that you're going on to this next step of your life. Now, I know most of my verses have been in New King James Version, but I really like this verse in NIV. So if you guys wouldn't mind, could we all read 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 together? 3, oh. but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and in purity. Your time is now, graduates. You might have been on the sidelines before, you know, you weren't. If you have older siblings, you know, you don't get first choice, but now it's your time. Do not let somebody talk down on you because you are still young, because everybody knows you are the future. Be an example to people. Make sure that when people look at you, they don't, what they associate with you is the right thing that they associate with you. You need to have an open mind, have an open heart. Do not let your new environment change who you are in the Lord. Thank you.
Thank God for Isaac,
I'm so parched.
Blessing our hearts, and especially for our graduates. So many things he said in there. And one last thing, if for the graduate, when you go in, take Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. There are so many things on campus that are going to make you want to defile yourself. You should be that stand out. Daniel found himself as a slave in another land. He had an opportunity to serve in the king's palace. He had an opportunity to eat the best food, to have the best wine and everything. But he knew where he came from. He remembered what God's word says. To not eat stuff, food that have been committed to idols. Don't go to college and feel that I'm free. Things you never did at home, don't go doing it. And not because you're not, mom and dad is not there, grandmom is not there. Don't go on doing it. Remember where you came from. And remember, it's God that has brought you this far. Amen? We'll call on the praise team to just give us our last song. And then just one verse of our song, and then we'll be out of here. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we want to thank you for our graduates. We thank you for bringing them 12 years, now even as they embark on the next chapter of their lives, Lord. We pray that you go with them, guide their hearts, guide their thoughts, guide their feet, and Lord, that they will succumb to your will and not their will, and that you will just order them in every aspect of their lives. We thank you. Carry us now, Lord, and bring us back next week for your name to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.